When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So if you are a Jet fan, you win the game, you wake up this morning, you feel a little bit better about your team, and you saw some spectacular plays.
Yeah.
By your quarterback, by your wide receivers, your defense was all over C.J. Stroud. So you probably wake up this morning feeling pretty good about yourself, and I'm sure the Jet team feels pretty good about itself as well. The question is now, moving forward, when the Jets play, they have to win. They can't lose. They don't have any room for error. But this weekend, when you're watching games, and you see that Buffalo and Miami are playing this weekend, you know, my sense is that the Jets are not going to win the AFC East. So they're going to make it.
Spidey sense.
Right. So if they're going to make it, they're going to have to make it via the wild card. So you got to look at these teams that they will be battling with, like the Bengals, the Chargers, possibly the Dolphins if they win today. I doubt the Patriots are going to be doing anything.
Hey, they're a second place football team right now,
which is amazing. Which is amazing when you think about it.
Yeah. I mean, I know what you're saying. There's nothing wrong with what you're saying. I just think that the Jets at this point, the scoreboard watching stuff is futile until they get closer to 500, you know?
So the key is like the Denver Broncos, the Baltimore Ravens, the Chargers, the Colts, the Bengals. Like the Jets now have went from, at least now at this point, because they played a game yesterday and we still have to wait for everybody else to play. They went from being 15th in the AFC to now they're 10th. You know, so, and that could change again. They could drop down again depending on what happens to teams behind them, whether or not they win.
Isn't it incredible that I think Baltimore is, I won't maybe say a consensus, but a lot of people believe that that's the best team in football, them and the Kansas City Chiefs. Like it's gone back and forth. And
Detroit.
Yeah, but the point being that they're in that conversation, but they're not even leading their division.
They have three losses, and they have quite possibly, and I have to look at it, I think they have the worst pass defense in the NFL. So that means by them adding Deontay Johnson from the Carolina Panthers, that they figure they're just going to have to outscore everybody.
Yeah.
That when they get going, they're going to have to score 40 points because they're going to give up. They're going to give up 24 to 28 points every game because their pass defense is terrible.
Yeah, which is a fantasy football player's dream. Anytime that you play got a Ravens in the game, you know they're going to score points. You know they're going to give up points. So that's a lot of fun to watch. But, yeah, I mean, you're not going to win a championship with a Civ defense like that. But we've seen defenses throughout the years, like the Chiefs, you know, during a regular season, the defense will look terrible, and Spagnuolo will get them going in the playoffs, and they start changing some things around. The Bengals started to do that, even though they're still losing football games. They got off to a miserable start on the defensive side of the ball, started getting healthy. Now they're playing a little bit better defense.
But here's the game now. Like, you have the Chargers at the Browns. So the Chargers are playing the Browns at the worst time because they actually have a legitimate quarterback that can score points.
It's amazing that we're calling Jameis Winston a legitimate quarterback.
Well, compared to what they had. Yeah. And last year, you would have said the same thing about Joe Flacco for them late in the season.
I always have liked Jameis. It's just that he's sort of like he's a joke now. You know what I'm saying? Right. He's a punchline.
Here's another huge game for the Jets, and that would be Denver at Baltimore. That is another huge game because, you know, obviously one of those teams will lose. And you're talking about both of those teams that are in front of the Jets. Now, to me, I would think that you'd want Denver to lose just simply because you've already lost to them. So if you could try to get them to get another loss would be really key for them. And then after that, I guess you would have to say Indianapolis at Minnesota. You need Minnesota to win the game. And you were telling me earlier, like, Joe Flacco has to play now. This is the week.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just, so this is, and I've said this before, I bet you every fan of every team feels this way, but I feel like I've got a lot of examples. It's like any guy who's a star on a team will get healthy for the Vikings game. And then last week, it was both Cooper Kupp and then a surprise Puka Nacua. Now, Puka Nacua is hurt again, so it's like he comes back, he plays, he goes for, I don't know what, like 11 catches and 130 yards, and then gets hurt again and might not play this week. It's the same thing with Brian Urlacher back in the day. Like, Urlacher would have, like, a hamstring injury. He'd come back. He'd have 7 sacks, 2 picks, and 1 return for a touchdown. And then he'd hurt himself again and not play for the rest of the season. But then, now, of course, the week after, Anthony Richardson looks like he can't play the game of football. He's tapping out. He did something that has never been done in modern-day football, a quarterback asking out of a game because he was tired. Of course, they're going to go to Flacco, who has really just turned into a great story at his old age, playing at a high level. He couldn't do it with the Jets, but with the Browns and what he's done so far and the times he's played with the Colts, looks great.
Yeah, so, you know, my thing about Anthony Richardson is that, you know, they're not dumping him like Trey Lance was dumped by San Francisco. They're going to bench him. They're going to sit there. He's going to watch. He's going to learn. I wouldn't doubt that the team leadership council, you know, every team has a leadership council.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if those guys got together and went to the coach and said, hey, what are we doing here?
Mm.
You know, this kid is not ready yet. He's made some good throws. He's a terrific athlete, but he's just not ready yet. And everybody can see it. So they want Joe Flacco to go in there and to stabilize the whole thing. And, you know, hopefully he does. But, you know, that's a huge game from a Jet perspective. So, you know, wherever you see, like, the Indianapolis, the Chargers, the Bengals, you want those teams losing. And, by the way, Pittsburgh and San Francisco are the teams on the bye this week.
Yep. My man T.J. Hockenson coming back, though, from his big ACL. So, Sunday night coming back. Been a long time since you've seen him. So, keep an eye on that part of the game. Let's go to Ken and Wayne. What's going on, Ken?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good.
I was just wondering if you guys thought that Garrett Wilson, did you think he maintained control all the way to the ground? Because it looked like that ball was bobbling, and it might have even hit the ground. I don't know if you get any better angles.
You know what? I thought he caught the ball. There's no question about it. I definitely thought he caught the ball. I'm still flummoxed. I'm flummoxed over the fact that they somehow overturned. Yeah, I am flummoxed. It's amazing. I don't usually get flummoxed, but in this case, I was flummoxed last night when they gave him the touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I saw what I needed to see according to the rules. I mean, we did a whole thing on this. You can go back on the Odyssey app during the open if you'd like.
Onto the ball. I thought he held on to the ball.
Yeah, no, he held on to the ball. As we're watching, you're watching this happen?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think that was an issue about holding on to the ball, so. Yeah, it was an unbelievable catch. They called it a touchdown.
You compare that to George Pickens, whose right foot hit the ground twice, but his left foot didn't.
I'm not doing this again. I'm not doing it again.
And then when you go back to that Giant game and you see the Giant punter get run into.
Well, that's a different story. That's
and
a
then
totally
last night
missed call.
The same thing happened.
That's a totally missed call, and it's a bad call. But what the rules clearly state why one was not a touchdown and why one was a touchdown with the Garrett Wilson, George Pickens thing.
So, and I know one butt cheek equals 2 feet, right?
Anything but a hand.
So an elbow.
Mm-hmm.
One elbow equals 2 feet.
Yep. Anything but a hand.
What do you mean anything but a hand?
Forearm counts. Anything but a hand going down to the ground.
Oh, so in other words, like if he came down with it and the hand hit in and then fell out of bounds, that wouldn't count.
If he didn't get anything else on
the
ground.
But he could get his elbow down.
Could get his elbow down.
So the elbow counts, but the hand doesn't.
Right.
And then, like I said, where does the shin start? Like, it starts, like, right here.
You're 63 years old. You know where the shin is?
I just want you to tell me.
I know where it is. It's right. We did the whole thing before.
Here's the shin.
Bottom of the knee.
Here's the shin.
To the top of the ankle.
Here's my shin.
Bottom of the knee to the top of the ankle.
See my shin?
Yeah. I got it. I see it. Yeah. He got it down.
Okay.
He did. It's clear. They went back, they reviewed it, it's clear. And shin equals 2 feet as well. So it was a hip, so it was a butt cheek. I mean,
nobody was in there going,
no, listen, that's a great catch. Give it to him. We need it.
You think that that stuff happens?
No, I
don't. You think that they're rigging these calls for highlight purposes?
Of course I don't.
Well, I mean, that's what you're implying. You've been going on and on about it. I just think that it was the right call. The right call. The Pickens thing was the right call. This was the right call.
You are a huge football fan. You love the sport. You watch the sport. Were you shocked that they gave him that catch?
I was surprised because they didn't call it a catch on the field, and they came back and reversed it. And then I said, wow, they really saw something. And then that video here of CBS Sports Network confirms it, that where his shin hit. So now I'm not surprised at all because it's you see it. It's clear. That's all. I mean, okay. I mean, in Pickens, you keep talking about he's got two of the same foot does not count. And it just doesn't. I mean, I know it's kind of a freakish thing, but like, if you're hopping up and down on one leg, you know, or you're standing there like a flamingo, it doesn't count. You got to get something else in. And he didn't. Okay. And now you got the shin here.
Okay.
So,
for the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Continuing with your Jets calls, we'll work some baseball into the conversation coming up at 11 o'clock. How about the catch from Garrett Wilson, BT? Everybody making a big deal about it. The Jumpman logo, the Odell comparisons. It was a great catch from Garrett Wilson. Me personally, while it was a great play, like, I don't get caught up in that. I get caught up in more the overall numbers, how the team plays, the wins, losses. But it was a terrific athletic play from Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, and what really I thought made it an extra, extra amazing, listen, there's catches where, you know, you can manipulate your feet, which are a little, certainly more pliable than your shin, or other body parts that you can kind of twist and contort to either get them down or roll a hip in, whatever it might be. The shin is 100% inflexible. So he had his spatial awareness, which is what he showed his first 2 years, and it was one of his special qualities, was absolutely off the charts on that play. And even the first touchdown with the one hand was great. So, you know, you get this, oh, whose catch was better, you know, last night or OBJ. I do it this way, and there's no right or wrong, but this is just my quick impression. OBJ, more iconic. It's against Dallas. It just means, it's just whatever. In terms of degree of difficulty, I thought last night's play was more difficult than Odell's. As crazy as that seems, that's the way I saw it.
Odell made a career basically out of that one play. That one catch overrated him. His entire career. I'm not saying he wasn't good at moments.
Yeah.
He was okay.
A couple of his early moments were phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, you know, some of his yardage totals and receptions. I actually think it hurt him because if it would have come a little later, I remember going to a game and even watching pregame where he became. Now, maybe he was doing this before he made the catch.
Oh,
I'm not sure.
He was doing it in the pregames.
The one-handed grabs.
With his shirt off or shirt up or whatever. Like, come on, bro.
I think it added a chapter of Hollywood or showmanship. And I know he was always flamboyant and, you know, he had some. Right. Great. And that's what made him special and interesting. I think that ratcheted up a level, and I don't think it helped him.
But since when do we.
I don't care about that stuff, the one-handed grabs. Like, I really don't.
Well, that's my point. But yet, I remember watching highlights of. They'll do a game that, oh, look at this catch. He was out of bounds, but it was a great catch. I'm like, the play didn't count. Or he almost had it. Well, yeah, that's great. Or he did it in warm-ups. It doesn't matter. Or Judge hit a bomb in batting practice. And Judge is a bad example because he's hit plenty of bombs. But, oh, did you see that? He hit one 490 feet in batting practice. Yeah, that's great. I'd rather care about any of the 62 that he hit in the regular season. Like, since when did we become such a society, a sports society, that gets caught up in a singular great play? Like, you could acknowledge it and say that was a great catch and a great play, but what's all the fuss about? Okay.
Social media, and that's what sucks. I mean, it's always about, even, I'll give you another example, Steph Curry. Steph Curry, I don't know, I'm sure he still does this, and it doesn't bother me, but it's I don't think it's I don't want to say it's bad for the kids. I don't want to make it seem more than it is. But you see Steph Curry before games, particularly when they're at the Chase Center in San Francisco, where he shoots threes from the tunnel. You ever see that on social media?
Yes, okay. Of course.
And, you know, some of his pregame routine, and you see other NBA players, you know, half-court threes, which now you see in the All-Star game, and what happens when an 8-year-old kid goes into the gym instead of trying to make a layup, which is what we were taught, not that we were anything special with basketball, but they just try to emulate their heroes, which I get because I tried to do the same thing. So did you in the street with, you know, your Mets and me with my Yankees. But it's not about fundamentals. It's about look at me and look at what I can do, and nobody else can do this. And I think the quicker people learn that and just say, hey, it's either it's there if you want it, which I don't, and it's there to ignore it, which I choose to do.
What do you think got more hype on or more play, whether it's social media or just media in general?
Uh-huh.
The Garrett Wilson catch or the actual Jet win?
Oh, the catch.
Yeah.
The catch.
The catch! Oh, like, it was a great catch, sure, but that's what we care about now? Just the great catch?
Like, well, not we. I didn't start the show with catch. I started the show with a path for the Jets to get to the playoffs maybe if they mess around to get hot.
Understood. I'm talking about a sports society. Then people hear this, and I'm sure the WFAN Digital already, ooh, Sal hates the catch. No, it was a great catch.
Get on it, Izzo.
Yeah, it was a great catch. But ultimately, okay, well, he's doing his job.
Again, that was a sick catch, though,
It was a great catch.
It may have been one of the it was one of the best catches I've ever seen. I'm not going to rank them now, whatever, but I mean, from a Jets perspective, I can't remember one better. Yeah.
It was a great catch.
It was an amazing catch. And without it, they don't win. But for me, the win's more important. That's it.
I mean, I would
Now, think about this, Al. If you're not, how much of the influence on the social media digital imprint is being hijacked by people who aren't Jet fans and who are just reacting to it? Like, think about this. If Nico Collins was healthy and he made that catch, and I'm not a Jet fan and they're not playing the Texans, and they're the Texans versus the Jaguars on Thursday Night Football, not that I wouldn't even jump into it because I don't care enough to do it, but if I jumped into something, it wouldn't be about the Texans win. It would be about maybe this crazy catch.
Understood. And again, it was a great catch, sure, but like we've seen, was it the greatest catch ever? Oh, yeah, it was the greatest catch in the history of the sport. Like, we've seen great plays before. We've seen great catches before. It's nice to see Garrett Wilson starting to reach his potential.
It's nice. That's what I take away.
Yeah. I mean, that should be the big thing.
He's he's reminded us why there were some special traits early coming out of Ohio State. With no quarterbacks throwing him the ball.
You know why it should be more important? Because him being a good or great receiver moving forward is something that's sustainable. Making catches like that generally are one-offs. Like, you're not going to make... I know he had two one-handed catches.
Yeah, he did.
But the one that he made that everybody's making a big deal about, like, that's probably not going to happen again, which in part is why you appreciate the greatness of it, but also, like, a scrub receiver could have made that play and it would, oh my God, look at this great catch! Instead of, hey, this is a great receiver who made a great play, he's got to now continue this throughout the course of his career. Jared is calling from Ridgefield. What's up, Jared? Hey, Jared.
Nope.
Hey, Jared.
Oh,
hi. This is Dave from Edison, New Jersey.
Yes, what's up, Dave?
Okay. Yeah, so I just wanted to say, I know you kind of stole my thunder, but I think the Jets, first of all, they allowed 5.2 yards a rush last night, and the Texans didn't have their two top receivers. And also, two of the three wins came on a short week at home where they had to travel on a short week.
You're not feeling it, Dave. I got you. You're not feeling it.
Yeah.
I got you. Are you a Jets fan or no?
No, actually, I'm a Cowboys fan. I think they beat the Falcons.
Yeah, who cares?
Based on what? Wait. Based on what? Now you touch the nerve with me. Based on what?
Go get him.
Well, I think one of the biggest problems is the offensive line hasn't given Dak time to throw. The Falcons only have 6 sacks on the season.
Yeah. Okay, but here's what I'll say, Dave. Good luck with that game, and thanks for the call. We're not getting into a Falcons-Cowboys thing, but again, just minimizing. There's a Cowboy fan that's worried about the Jets and Jet fans, the way that they're reacting and what's going on in New York football. The Cowboys suck, okay? And even when they're good, they still suck. Get that through your Cowboy head. All you Cowboys fans. The Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys. They're going to fire their coach. Their owner's on his last run as an owner.
Take it easy. Come on.
You know what I'm saying? I did solve
you
it
did,
there.
You did. I don't
have to
would.
Say it. You know.
He ain't young. He's not young.
And I like Jerry.
Yep.
I root for the Cowboys more often than not, like over the years, because I believed in them.
Yeah.
The quarterback can't make a big throw to save his life in the postseason. They get beat. Every time they have a good regular season, they get beat badly in the postseason.
Every year.
This year, they're not even having a good regular season. Mm-hmm. There's infighting there with guys. Like,
what are they, 4-4? Got my head. Does that sound right? I think they're 4-4, right?
They were a mess. And I was one of the last people to still believe in Dallas. You were saying they were no good going to that Giant game. I thought they were still good.
Paper champions. They just are. They have a good receiver. You know, Parsons is great. Dak is interesting. Now blindly
they're going to beat the Falcons. Okay, and look, maybe they do. Falcons aren't a great team, but good luck with that one.
Well, listen, at the end of the day, you know, bring it back to the Jets win here.
3-4, Dallas.
Oh, 3-4. Okay, thank you. You guys can process this however you want. I'm not telling you what to think. I'm telling you what I think. And what I think and what I see is, you know, for the first time, at least for the second half, a team that I would see a lot more frequently earlier in the season. For whatever reason, that style of play and that success was proved to be too evasive for the Jets. But they got a win. The AFC's fairly muddled. They've got a lot of games coming up that they should, quote-unquote, win. They'll be favored by Vegas. And that's it. And that's where we are. Piece it together. Stretch it out.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But last night at MetLife Stadium, it was dark, very dark, before it became bright, to follow Aaron Rodgers and Positive Tommy's analogies. When the New York Jets were down 7-0 in this game after Joe Mixon basically said, "I'm just going to run it down your throat. There ain't a damn thing you can do about it." And the Jets were forced to punt on a very weak 3-and-out in which Tyron Smith couldn't block me and Aaron Rodgers fell to the ground. It was 7-0 in favor of the Texans. And the crowd was angry. The crowd was upset. And you heard the boos.
Mm-hmm.
But you also heard this chant very loudly throughout MetLife Stadium. Now, that takes a lot. Because even though people will call Sports Talk Radio up and complain about ownership, a loud, audible, sell the team chant doesn't happen very often. And that's why last night, down 7-0, it really felt like rock bottom as a Jet fan.
I mean,
Rodgers is being booed. The owner's being told to sell the team. It was like the worst of the worst.
Right. And it's a chant that's never going to go anywhere. It's not going to be influenced to sell the team because the crowd is chanting for him to sell the team. But I can understand why they felt that way because it was ugly. Look, the Texans weren't playing great, and they were still in control.
Yeah.
It made no sense. Especially with Aaron Rodgers and all the expectations that you had as a Jet fan coming into this season. But Woody Johnson's never selling this team. He's not. Now, can it make him try to look at things differently? Maybe, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
Right? He's always going to be the same impulsive and hope for the best type of owner.
Just remember this. I want to try to give you an analogy on why, of course, Woody Johnson, James Dolan, you name the owner, is not selling the team because a bunch of people are chanting, "Sell the team."
I know.
It's like if people protested outside of WFAN and chanted at Sean Morash, "Quit the show! Quit the show!" It's not like Sean's going to say, "You know what, gee golly, you got me.
Right.
I'm going to quit the show."
Yeah, hey kids, hope you like a tent.
But I think it's the way people just show their frustration. And I don't want to say it's the same because I think protesting is very patriotic no matter what you're protesting. But a lot of times when you protest on the streets, it's not actually going to make the government change their mind. But you do it because you just want your voice to be heard.
Yeah. You want to express your displeasure.
Correct.
And that's what the Jet fans were doing last night.
Yeah, you're not doing it because you think. Like, we're not rational. It's not like, hey, Woody's going to hear this and say, "Boy, people really don't want me to own this team. I'm going to sell it." Like, that's not the case. And I know that the protesting is probably not the best analogy, but it's kind of the same thing.
Like, when you're marching through the streets protesting a war from 30 years ago, you don't actually think that LBJ and Richard Nixon are going to be like, you know what? Screw it. I'm pulling the troops out. No, you're doing it because you just want your voice to be heard. And I think any Jet fan who was there last night at MetLife Stadium on a Thursday night, Tommy Lugau refused my free tickets. That's how much he did not want to go to MetLife Stadium. And I'm sure he wasn't the only one. There were empty seats last night. I think when you're watching disgusting football, you feel compelled to do that. But, yeah, it's not going to cause Woody Johnson to just change his mind. But I get it, man. I wonder what I would have done. Because I'm not a booer. I'm not a sell the team guy. As much as I, you know, didn't love the Wilpon ownership team, I never chanted sell the team. But I don't know. At 7-0 with 2 minutes to go, maybe Evan's frustrations would have boiled over.
Heading towards 2-7. I could see.
Yeah.
You know, I understand the frustration. I really do. But it's the Jet fans' right to scream that, but you just know it's not going to happen. Now, maybe it motivates them a little bit. Maybe. I doubt it, because I don't ever remember hearing anything from the crowd during a game. You just don't hear it.
You were laser focused.
You're too dialed into what's going on. You're not necessarily listening. You hear a ruckus, obviously, but you can't make it out, right? The fact that you could make it out was probably because of the mics that radio and or television have pointed towards the crowd.
I understand Jet fans' ire and being angry, and I would be angry too if I was a fan. But the only thing I would say is Woody Johnson's not a perfect owner. Woody Johnson did the singular thing that this entire fan base wanted to do, which was go get Aaron Rodgers to try to fix this thing.
That's true.
And the experiment has failed. So if you're chanting sell the team, like, that's fine to show your frustration. But Woody Johnson listened to the fan base and what they wanted to
do. Okay, so you're picking up on one thing. And I can only speak for myself on this, and I can explain to you why I'm angry at Woody Johnson. And why I'm angry at Woody Johnson is very easy to argue with me about, because I wasn't the biggest Robert Saleh fan. But I had a big problem with the owner getting that involved. I know he has a right to do it. He's the owner of the team. But I had a big problem with the owner going over the GM's head to say, I'm firing the head coach. I didn't like it. I don't think he knows enough about football to do that and make me as a fan and as a customer okay with that. So if your point is that you wanted Aaron Rodgers, just shut up and be happy. Look, I think that we're also voicing our anger at the fact that this has been the most inept franchise in the last decade and a half. They haven't been in the playoffs since Obama's first administration. So sometimes it's not about arguing each individual move. It's about showing your displeasure for where the franchise is. But I personally, what really concerned me this year was an owner going over the head of a general manager to fire the head coach.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. And the response was nothing like you would have expected, or at least what he thought was going to happen.
So far, I mean, they won yesterday, and hopefully that leads to something. But obviously the initial reaction in terms of results did not work out. Coming up in a few minutes, why the Malachi Corley mistake was bad, but I blame some of his teammates. We'll get to that in a few minutes. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Anthony in Harlem, New York. What's up, Anthony?
What's up, fellas?
Yo.
Hey, listen, Woody is a nice guy, and he spends money, and he listens to the fans, but he's a horrendous owner, man. He said Adam Gase is where football's going. He listened to Peyton Manning. And you know, I mean, you remember when the Wilpons were, like, Wilponning, and there was that billboard on the Grand Central that said, Fred, sell the team.
Yeah.
Maybe it plants the idea in his head. Maybe Trump, he has a, you know, the big party, and at the table, the cocktail table with Elon Musk, and he decides, I don't want to do this anymore. Elon Musk. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm gonna go knocking on doors, door to door.
Well, but you know, you made a very interesting point. Woody Johnson, and this is the perception of him, okay? He listens a lot to the fans. Sometimes to the negative, where when people are flying planes overhead, he's like, I have to pay attention to what they're saying. That I've heard he's on social media a lot, paying attention to what Jet fans say. And while there's a part of that that's charming, there's another part of it that says, wait a second, if you listen too much to the fans, you'll end up with the fans. But when you talk about him individually, I doubt him reading the trend on X last night of sell the team is going to cause him to say, I'm going to take this product, this baby that I love, and sell one team. As much as he listens to the fans, I don't think he's going to listen to that.
No. I mean, of course he's not. It doesn't make any sense that he would listen to any of that nonsense. But it just is the displeasure. Now, the question is, does an owner care about the fans' opinion when he thinks he's on the right path?
Mm.
And that's what I don't know.
I also want to defend Woody on something. Yeah. I believe in being accurate around here.
Go ahead.
Our last caller quoted Woody Johnson as saying Adam Gase is coaching where offense is going.
Uh-huh.
That was actually Christopher Johnson.
Ah, yes, because Woody was he an ambassador then?
He was ambassador at that point.
Right.
It was a Christopher Johnson line.
And then Christopher fired Gase and then hired Saleh.
Right. So I think what we get confused about is that Woody and Christopher are the same guy.
Yeah, they're not.
So we'll just say the Johnson brothers.
Even though they both fired Robert Saleh, at least according to reports.
That's true. They both agreed on that.
Well, no, they both like went into his office. That was the story.
Yeah, I don't think right now Jet fans trust either of the Johnsons at this point.
Agreed.
Let's go to Kendrick in Suffern. How you doing, Kendrick?
Kendrick.
Gentlemen, it's been a little bit since I called. I've been waiting for this game and to talk football again as I had no interest with the Yankees. But to connect the baseball and football here, I know Positive Tommy is back on with us here. What about we had 0-5 to OMG, 2-6 to in the mix? Because that's all I'm asking for right now. Because
no, 3-6.
Sorry. Right, but we were 2-6.
Oh, we were 2-6.
Got it. Before yesterday. Yeah. Got it. Yes.
Yeah. So it's not going anywhere, so who cares what it is. But anyway, yesterday was Halloween. My son went as Garrett Wilson, and I walked around. I actually live in Waldwick, New Jersey. I moved years ago, but as a fan caller, no one really cares where I live, so I've always been Kendrick from Suffern. So I'm only about like 20 minutes from the stadium. That's why I bring it up. And the amount of jokes that I got walking around trick-or-treating with my son wearing the Jet stuff, just a couple miles out from where the game was, I was like, what am I doing to my kid? You know? But to have him wear Garrett Wilson's jersey last night, walking around, hearing the few Let's Go Jets chants, and having him have that game was awesome. And
that's cool.
I wanted to bring up a play, Tiki, to show you. A few weeks ago, I called about Robert Saleh and how the officials have been horrible. And it wasn't to say he lost his job because of the officiating, but it was, you need to work the officials in the game.
No doubt.
And Tiki, I tweeted this last night. I'll share it to Sean or Tommy. Hopefully they can show you this. But I want your opinion on this. There was a play where Garrett Wilson made a contested catch against Derek Stingley, and it made it 3rd-and-1. And he went to the official and he said, hey, he's grabbing my face mask because I'm trying to release. You've got to watch this.
Garrett Wilson
said
this.
And the next play.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
The official. That was at the end of the third quarter. To start the fourth, which was that phantom flag call, was on Derek Stingley. Mm. And it was hands to the face.
Huh.
So to me, I think Garrett Wilson had the two unbelievable catches. Everyone forgets about the first one, but the two unbelievable catches. But what really changed the game, it was 10-7. It was 4th-and-1. And we got that penalty call that we needed.
That is a great pull. You got to go back and look at that now. Because
right.
So Garrett Wilson on 2nd-and-10 catches an 8-yard pass, according to Kendrick, or 9-yard pass, says something to the official. They fail on 3rd-and-short. Brees Hall gets stopped.
Then they
go for it on 4th-and-1. There's a drop, but then the illegal contact extends the drive. Did Garrett Wilson working the official lead to the Jets getting that call, which was probably the most important flag of the entire game?
Yeah, so it's third quarter, 44 seconds left on the 31-yard line. He goes right over to the official and goes, grab my face mask.
Mm.
Grab my face pass. And then the next play, he gets the call.
You think that impacts it?
Of course it does.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know if he was doing it all the time, though. That's the only thing.
Right. We caught that on TV.
Right. I'd have to go back and look to see if he was doing it consistently. And that's why he was complaining about it.
Wow.
Or he just kind of got lucky.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's get to the Garrett Wilson touchdown as heard by Ian Eagle on Westwood One.
Rodgers in the pocket. He's going to throw. Left side. Looking.
No way.
It's incomplete. Kamari Lassiter in coverage.
So, Jerry, you're a football maven. What'd you think about that?
I
I'm still. I heard Gio. I don't see where you see the shin in.
Well, hold on. Look
on that angle there.
No. CBS Sports Network has a still shot.
Oh, okay.
So if they could throw that up there, that's not the. Oh, here we go. Yeah. Boop.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, let me ask you a question.
There you go.
So is it the? I know where the shin starts at the bottom of the leg. Where does it end at the
below
the knee? But
below the knee.
How far below the knee?
The shin is right above the foot, right above the ankle.
Yeah, but then it goes up to the bottom of the knee.
As long as it touches one part of the shin, I don't know. That angle to me looks pretty good.
The bottom part of the shin touch
first. Does the whole shin have to get down?
I wouldn't think so.
I would think
does the whole kneecap have to get down? No.
So you're saying that if he landed...
The whole foot have to get down? No.
Toe tap. Your toe, right?
Right, but so you're telling me that if his knee came down, his knee touched first, he would have been out of bounds?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just asking you how you feel
about
it.
Here's what I know. It's a remarkable catch.
Yes.
And I'm glad that it's a touchdown.
Okay. I'm right there with you. I said that first, but I was just, I'm trying to think from like a Texans fan's perspective.
You know what's interesting about that? D'Amico Ryan's 6 minutes, I think he spoke, was not asked about it.
Yeah, because the coaches are going to say, and which they should say, is that if something is video replayed and it's overturned,
fair enough,
then the coach has got to believe that the video replayed.
But even from the standpoint of, could you believe that he got in, or like it wasn't, unless I missed it, but I don't think I did. I went through the 6 minutes, and maybe the video I saw didn't have all of it, but it looked pretty cut and dry when he started and finished. I didn't hear a question.
One of my first questions to D'Amico Ryans: did you see the tape of Garrett Wilson coming down with the football, and do you think that he was in bounds? That would be my question today if he was taking questions from reporters, which I'm assuming he would be.
And then you know how sometimes phrases are like, they're not popular anymore. Like, we used to talk weird in the 50s. We don't talk that way. Daddy-o, thing, well, unless you're Evan. We don't say things like that anymore.
Yeah, we talk about this kind of stuff, language we don't use.
Like, when you see something and you're like, I'm like, oh my God, right?
I mean, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Right. Oh my God. That's our big thing.
Do you know
now.
He is making his mark? Phil Simms is making his mark on others?
He made his mark on me this morning in the open.
Huh. Kirk Herbstreit, now Michaels, while reacting to this catch.
What a grab, though. One-handed.
Oh my gosh. Ridiculous catch.
I heard that too.
That's unbelievable. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Right. And then right after that, Al Michaels said, wild blueberries.
That's crazy.
I love onions.
Yeah, now he loves onions.
He might have said that. Then there's, I mean, all right, Kirk Herbstreit's a little bit older. Maybe oh my gosh is in his mind. I don't know. Then you find out that Jamie and Sherwood was a lifelong Giant fan and loved himself some Phil Simms as he's walking off the field on SNY.
Oh my gosh, every win is critical.
I mean, this is like a virus. It's unbelievable.
This is the Simms effect.
Incredible.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty wild. So you had a couple of guys there, young and a little bit older. Oh my gosh. Here was, even Jose Iglesias saying, Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but Phil does say, oh my God, in the commercial.
But he's not famous for oh my gosh.
Yeah, but he's like, Gio did the oh my God this morning.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's definitely, it's an easy thing to pick up. It's an easy habit to pick up.
Just, you know,
sort of like a zin.
Phil was very natural in that commercial. So it's like you can all feel the genuineness.
Oh, yeah. I'm Phil Simms, 68, played professional football, won 2 championships. Injuries and all that. Think about him almost every day.
Yeah. My gosh.
Here was Garrett Wilson. Did you think you were in bounds on that play?
I didn't. I didn't know right away. I always feel like I have kind of bad luck with reviews, honestly. So I'm like, damn, it's close. It's really close, and I don't know which way this is going to go, but that would be really cool if it did count. You know, that's all I was thinking. I was like, that would be cool if that one did count, you know. So.
And it did count. And by the way, his first touchdown, as you guys also pointed out, was also a one-handed grab as he was running in stride. Pretty good.
You know what's amazing is the first play of the game for the Jets offense.
Devontae Adams was wide open,
and Aaron threw it out of bounds.
Well, but how about the whole sequence? Makes a bad throw, then makes a perfect throw to Breece Hall
that hits him
in the chest, and he drops it. And then he gets his clock cleaned, and then they're booing literally 30 seconds into the game.
Yeah, I would have been booing too.
I don't blame him.
That first half was awful by both teams.
And here was Rodgers talking about a great sense of urgency after the half.
Yeah, it was kind of season on the line.
there in the second half. Obviously, we wouldn't have been mathematically eliminated, but mentally, to go to 2-7 would have been real tough.
What'd you say?
He goes, we wouldn't have been mathematically eliminated, but he said, but mentally. And I said, yeah, mentally eliminated.
Mentally out of it.
Yeah.
You're not kidding. Here was Sauce Gardner as we flip things around to the defense, because C.J. Stroud got absolutely clobbered. He was sacked 8 times in this game, only completed 11 passes. Here was Gardner.
Oh, yeah. We were just trying to create the hits. You know what I'm saying? Rush and coverage, that's what we always preaching. You know, so I feel like we did a pretty good job, man. You know, creating the hitches, letting the D-line go eat.
And they did, for sure. Here was Stroud himself. Got hit a whole hell of a lot.
I don't know what analogy I can use, but, yeah, it's not easy. You know, that's a strong suit I think I have is being able to move minutely in the pocket, you know, having those micro movements, and then, you know, keep my eyes on the field, be able to make plays. And, yeah, man, I know those guys up there are fighting. And
it just didn't go so good for them. So the Texans 6-3, the Jets are 3-6 as they snap their 5-game losing streak. They will be in Arizona next Sunday.
And we got another nice one today, and then it'll finally become fall over the weekend. And now we have no more baseball. It's all done. Mets season obviously ended a couple weeks ago. Yankees losing 5 to the Dodgers. More on the Yankees in a little bit, because the L.A. Dodgers have gone out of their way to take shots at the New York Yankees. And we'll find out if you guys take that personal or not. Plus, we'll make our NFL picks a little bit later on, and we'll delve deeper into the Giant Commander game on Sunday. But Joe B's Football Monday call-in on a Friday is brought to you by Empire City Casino. Winners play here by Approved Oil. Lock in your low oil rate at freezetherate.com and by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City. For the first time in over a month, this conversation is after a Jet victory. Mm-hmm. Joe, how are we feeling today, bro?
Well, let me tell you this. After Corley put the ball on the ground on a 2-yard line and didn't score that touchdown, I said, there's no way. This is going to be another, you know, butt fumble,
yep,
fake spike, something like that. I thought there was no way to win any game. So, you know, for them to come back and really overcome a lot of mistakes. I mean, you know, the roughing the kicker penalty on Charles, the stupid penalty on the when he kicked the center on the field goal, which actually wound up working right out for them. The holding penalty on Fasten, who I actually thought played pretty good. He played guard.
He'd never played guard.
Right. I actually thought he played a pretty decent game, you know, even though he had that holding penalty. For them to overcome all of that and win this game, I thought was very un-Jet-like.
Yes.
Yeah, because, let's put it that way.
Because you're right. When Corley puts that ball on the ground, and then we got to sit there over review and wait to see, like, did anybody pick it up?
Yeah.
Did anybody have the state of mind to, hey, let me just pick up the football just in case? For
right
that to go the other way, and then
right
for two drives later, for Joe Mixon to look like Jim Brown, and for them to march down the field,
yep,
you're
yep
right. It felt like this was just a typical embarrassment on a primetime level for the Jets.
Yeah, and then, you know, look, the second half, they were a different team. I'll tell you one thing. Obviously, the great catches, the two great catches by Garrett Wilson. I mean, that was a Odell Beckham-type catch. What a great, great catch. But you look at what they got right now, a wide receiver on the outside with him and Adams. I mean, they got something pretty good there. I mean, Adams had a terrific game as well. He did drop that one pass before halftime, but he certainly made up for it. That fourth down catch where he had to come out of the game for the concussion protocol. And then, of course, the game-sealing touchdown. So there's some things there. And I thought the offensive line played pretty well. They ran the ball a little better, even though the running game still could be better than it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you look, Rodgers, after a bad start, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he had Davante Adams on the first play of the
yep
game.
Yep.
That might have been a touchdown. I don't know where he threw the ball out of bounds. So, you know, it took him a little while to get going. But once they did, they wound up winning the game. We'll take it.
I agree. And I give credit to Todd Downing and Nate
yep
and whoever else was in charge of the game plan, because they were getting a ton of man coverage. And if you're going to get man coverage, just throw it up. Seriously.
Yeah.
Our receivers, meaning the Jets, are better than your defenders,
yep,
one of whom is a rookie in Kamari Lassiter. And I know the other kid on the other side, Stingley's a stud, but take your chances, right? Throw it up. And you give them credit for making those plays. The only thing I worry about, Joe, is they're not going to be there every week. You're not going to be able to do that every week.
Right.
Right? Get chunk plays, 20 yards, 30 yards for touchdowns after a horrible first half. So, yes, it's a great win. It keeps you in the hunt, so to speak, for a postseason berth. But, man, it was ugly for a lot of this game, Joe.
No, it was extremely ugly. The first half was absolutely brutal. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, but it was unwatchable on both sides.
Yes. No, I agree. Well, both sides unwatchable. And let's look, I mean, let's give the defense some credit. They still can't stop the run. And as I'm watching the game, I'm saying to myself, why would Houston ever throw the ball here? You know right. What? They couldn't protect Stroud all night long. You know, 8 sacks by the Jets last night. I mean, that was certainly, an encouraging theme. Even Michael Clemens got a couple sacks. Unbelievable. But that was certainly encouraging. But the one thing that bothered me, and it's something they got to shore up next week against Kyler Murray. You can't. Stroud had a lot of runs, okay, and I know, and he's not a runner. He's not a running quarterback, and he had a lot of big runs. Even that last drive, he ran for about 30 yards. You're not going to get away with that with Kyler Murray. I'll tell you that.
And that's been a problem. I mean, you go back to last week against New England before May got hurt. It was actually on the play. May got hurt.
That's right.
They were letting him beat him with the legs. Even Jacoby Brissett made a big play with his legs.
Yep.
They got a clip. But you know what? I thought of you with this, because one thing that's very frustrating with this defense, they had gone what felt like forever without forcing a turnover.
Yep.
And the Quinnen Williams force and Will McDonald recovering it. And that was as they were driving early in the game. It's nice to see this defense finally force a freaking turnover.
Well, Quinnen Williams had a tremendous game, and it's really 2 weeks in a row now that he has. You know, I was likening him to Muhammad Wilkerson 3 weeks ago. I don't know. Maybe he heard me. I don't know. But because he had a big game in New England, and he certainly had a big game yesterday. How about after he forces the fumble? And they got nothing out of it, but still, after he forces the fumble.
Brees
puts, oh, my God. I'm screaming. He was so lucky to get that ball back, you know. He really was.
Thank God he did. That would have been the ultimate response to forcing a turnover. Brees puts the ball on the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
And Sauce has got to play better, boy. Have you missed that one tackle on Schultz down the sideline? Could he tackle him? Can he wrap him up?
Joe, I think it's a bigger thing. Someone called earlier and asked about why the Jets can't stop the run. It's partly because teams are attacking their edges, and when you have edge rushers who want to get to the quarterback, it's almost easier to run at them. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so teams attack their edges, but they also don't tackle.
No, absolutely.
It's bad. Even Quincy Williams missed on the touchdown.
Yep.
Right,
yep.
he had Joe Mixon dead. Now Joe Mixon's a load. Like he's thick, like he's heavy, and he's hard to tackle. But he had him dead to rights, and he missed. They're tackling very poorly these last few weeks.
Yeah, that tackling has not been good. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, but we'll see. Let's see where they go from here. You know, we'll see. We'll see if they get Vera Tucker back. He's hurt all the time. I mean, I don't know if he's going to play next week. Lazard's on IR now, so I guess Mike Williams is going to stay here. And I guess they're going to have to use Qualley more. They're going to have to use this kid.
Well,
you know,
they can use him more. I did have a problem that after he makes that boneheaded mistake, he should have been off the field.
Yeah.
Like, for him to get back on the
field. But he didn't see the ball again.
He didn't see the ball again, but his jersey should have come off, and they should have benched him for the rest of the game.
He played 7 more plays.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I mean, look, it was absolutely. I remind me of Leon Lett in the Super Bowl, except the big difference was Don Beebe actually knocked the ball out of his hands. Nobody knocked the ball out of Corley's hands.
Well, Tiki brought up a great point. I didn't even think about it. You're a rookie. You're scoring your first touchdown.
Right.
Why
are
you giving up the ball? Should be holding in your body so you can bring it home after the game.
You know what I'm thinking?
Case.
Here's what I was thinking, Teke. Who the hell are you, Malachi Corley, to not just get in the end zone and hand the ball to the official?
The thing in the NFL is that you can keep those balls, right? It's your team's ball. Like it's the Jets football. The Texans have their own, slew of football. So it's your football. Keep it. Go to the sideline and say, "Hey, equipment guy, wrap my name around this thing. I'm sleeping with this ball tonight." And he's just like, "Forget it. It's a loaf of bread. Drop it off at the corner."
Yeah. All right, it was unbelievable. I mean, and you could tell, as he was doing it, I'm like, "Boy, I don't know. Did he cross the goal line with the ball?" Oh my God!
And you're right, man. Because watching that, it's like this is unbelievable. It's gonna be typical
Jets
in prime time of all times. Because that kind of crap happens at 1 o'clock. We're all pissed off, but it kind of goes away. When it happens while everyone's watching, like the Sam Darnold ghost game, it just becomes the Mark Sanchez butt fumble. It lives in history.
Yeah, of course.
Luckily, they won, so it went away.
That's it. I mean, that covered it. You know, the victory covered everything. But look, we'll see where they are now. I mean, I'm not getting crazy about it. I mean, it's nice to win a game. Win the next one. You know, they got 8 games left. They made an interesting point during the game last night. I think it was Herbstreit that said it. Two teams last year actually came back from 3-6 to make the playoffs.
Right.
I think Cleveland was one. I'm not sure who the other one was. We could look. I think Cleveland was one. I'm not sure who the other one was. But he did say two teams came back from 3-6. So, look, it's not impossible.
Yeah, but Cleveland definitely was one because that was, remember, the Joe Flacco.
Right. That's right. You know, but now they got to win next week. They still got 8 games to play. So win next week, and let's see where we go from here.
Do you have confidence they will?
I don't have confidence at all. I mean, why should I?
I mean, they are what
their record says they are. I think the Cardinals are a very tough team. Look, they could lose to everybody. They got the Colts after that. Hopefully, they'll flex that game to 1 o'clock, and it's not another night game. But you know, I mean, let's see. My confidence lies in the fact that offensively, you still got a. He's not the guy he once was, but you still got far more competent quarterback play than we've had in a long time with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And we got weapons now. I mean, I like to see Breece Hall more involved in a passing game than he is. He did drop one on that first series, but, you know, and we got to run better. I mean, to me, they got to run the ball better. They don't run the ball well enough, in my mind.
There was one play, and it got erased, that gave me some confidence, a little bit of confidence moving forward. And it was right before that Garrett Wilson catch on a 3rd and 9. Aaron Rodgers ran for 12 yards.
Yeah.
And he was pumped up. And
right, that was the holding penalty.
They called it back. But Rodgers looked, I don't want to say he looked like he was 25, but he certainly looked a lot better than he looked 2 weeks ago.
He looked athletic.
I mean?
He didn't look stiff.
Yeah. Look, Rodgers got his chip on his shoulder. I mean, let's be honest, he has to. I mean, especially, you know, with the way it's played out. I mean, the Jet karma has engulfed him. You know, we talk about this in a lot of ways. We saw what happened last year, the way it started this year. But, he's motivated to win. I mean, I do believe that. So, you know, like I said, the quarterback plays better than it's been his years. I think he's thrown like 15 touchdowns already.
Yeah, right.
How many touchdown passes did Zach Wilson even throw? I don't even think he threw 10.
No.
Evan
was just telling me this. I didn't even realize it. He's third. He's tied for third in touchdown passes in the NFL.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, you know, I think it's 15-7 because he didn't throw any picks last night.
No. Yeah, you're right.
You know, so he's still a competent quarterback, and you can win with this guy. You know, they just got to play better. They got to cut down the mistakes.
Yep.
You know, like I said, the penalty, they got away with a lot of bad penalties last night, and you can't continue to have that happen. You just can't.
You can't have the trifecta of running into the kicker.
Yep.
You can't have the penalty on the field goal. And I know those things ended up working out.
But they got lucky.
Right. And maybe that's a sign of the karma changing.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
But you can't make those dumb mistakes.
Yeah.
What did you think? So the Garrett Wilson, the first one was amazing too. It doesn't get enough attention.
Yeah. Yep.
But
yep.
the second one is being compared to Odell Beckham Jr. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on the Garrett Wilson catch and where that ranks as far as great catches you've ever seen?
Well, it's up there. I mean, I think it's very comparable to Odell Beckham, you know, 10 years ago against the Cowboys. I mean, not only making a catch, but the fact that he somehow stayed in bounds. I mean, it was initially.
But I think that was by accident, though, Joe.
You think he just got lucky on that? Is that what you think?
I do. Because he wasn't consciously trying to get his other foot down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He just kind of got lucky his shin went down.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Look, I mean, it was such a great play. I mean, it should have been a touchdown. You know, it would have been a crime if it did not count.
Yeah. If that play disappeared from history, that would suck. That would have sucked.
Yeah. That's one of the great catches. Look, the kid is a tremendous player, and he's getting better and better. You know, he's the one guy of the big three they drafted, and Jermaine Johnson's hurt, you could say, four in that one big draft, so he's not playing right now. But of the big three, you know, Wilson, Gardner, and Hall, he's playing by far the best. By far the best.
Yeah, and you've seen it evolve over the year. You knew that I guess we kind of assumed that what they were messing around with, Aaron and Garrett Wilson, was kind of fake news. But
when they were yelling at each other?
Yeah, but I think it was actually real. I think it was Aaron trying to get him on the right page with him, and Garrett being young, not really understanding what he was asking. So they were growing pains early in the season. It doesn't feel like that anymore. Feels like they're much more in contact with one another.
And don't you love Rodgers? I tell you, I got to say this, too, because he looks like me when he throws a bad pass or when somebody drops him. You know what I mean?
I'm so disgusted.
You can see he's just, like, totally disgusted. Are you kidding me? He didn't catch this ball, you know?
And he did
or
that,
I made
he did
this crummy throw.
He did
you know?
That to Devontae.
He definitely did.
What the hell, man?
He definitely did. Devontae's a terrific player. What an addition to this team, as far as I'm concerned. That's why, you know, I have a little hope that I can't tell you they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think they will, but at least have a little hope that we get, you know, some semblance of a season with 8 games to go.
Don't you have? I have this sinking feeling, and maybe I've been beaten up too much now, and maybe you agree with me, or maybe you'll be more hopeful than me, that they're going to go on a run. Yeah, they'll win a few games. They're going to suck us in.
You think
so? Then those last 2 weeks against Buffalo and Miami, then we'll get our typical BS comeuppance.
Why are you being negative, Evan?
Why?
Well, you know what, Ev? Why even look at it that way? You know, I'm not looking at it that way. I'm looking at it as the next game. That's it. Go win the next game.
That's the healthy way to look at it. You're right.
No, I'm not getting crazy because I'm not expecting them to come back and, you know, go 10-7 or run the table and go 11-6. I mean, I don't see that's not happening.
Right.
So I'm just trying to take it one game at a time. They're going to have a tough game next week in Arizona. Thank God it's not a night game. You know, we actually get a decent 4:25 start if the weather stays like it is. By the way, I heard you talk about the weather. And you know how I am with the weather.
Yeah.
The weather in September and October this year, okay, is probably the best weather I can remember in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It has been, especially October, played a lot of guys. We played today. It was like 80 degrees today. The only problem today, Teak, the wind was a big factor.
Yeah, it was bad out today. But it wasn't cold wind.
Usually,
the wind in this time of year kicks up, you feel like this chill and you got to go get a jacket.
Yeah.
You were fine in a t-shirt today.
Well, I was I played in, you know, regular golf shirt, you know, and I had long pants on, but regular golf shirt. The only problem, and like I said, the wind was blowing, but it was warm. I mean, you never felt chilled at all. It wasn't too great when you're trying to putt and, you know, the leaves. Now, here it is, Teak. The leaves are flying by you.
That's the terrible thing about fall golf.
Yep. Yeah,
it's not even if the wind's not blowing, you hit your ball in the leaves, you can't find it.
You can't find it.
It's terrible.
You can't find it. I had a couple balls like that today. It's very aggravating, especially when you hit the ball good.
Yeah.
You say to yourself, man, this ball can't be lost.
Right.
And then you got this massive amount of leaves, or even one leaf. All it takes is one leaf to be on top of the ball,
and
you can't find it, you know?
Yeah. No, but you're right, though. The weather has been the best I ever remember it.
Yeah.
Last night, I didn't go last. Were you there last night?
No, I'm not going home. Halloween.
I can't either.
That's not a night for me to go.
I'm totally with you. But there were very loud sell the team chants at Woody Johnson. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I could hear some kind of chant on TV, but I couldn't tell. And then I read about it in the paper today. I mean, look, the fans are fed up. Woody's been a bad owner. I mean, say whatever you want. Well, let's be honest. I mean, there's things about Woody I like, okay, that have nothing to do with football. But as far as an owner is concerned, he's bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, where do we go from here? I mean, what's left? I mean, there's nothing left to do this year. You know, you're not bringing, even if you wanted to bring Rex in, you can't do that now. We talked about it. Or any guy now, you know, it's going to be at the end of the year. So, look, we're going on 14 years without a playoff spot, the longest in North American sports.
That's the streak that's starting to bother me more than anything. Like,
even 9 years without a winning season, bro.
Like, it's
2015, the last time we had a winning season.
Like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I look back at growing up as a Jet fan, I was kind of spoiled. Like, we would be in the playoffs every couple of years.
Yeah.
This is a joke what this franchise has been for a decade and a half.
Yeah, no, it's been horrible. I mean, so many bad decisions. You know, they never pick the right quarterback, and it makes you even crazy when you see guys like Geno Smith and Donald actually doing well, and I'm not knocking them because, you know, sometimes, you know, Teak, you know, quarterbacks a lot of times develop very late, you know,
until
they, you know,
most
they get,
of them do, by the way, Joe.
Most of them. That's right.
I'm just telling you, most of them take some time.
That's why I want to see Rodgers back next year, if for no other reason than, you know, so we can draft a young quarterback, you know, chances are going to have a relatively high pick, hopefully not, but I wouldn't doubt it, and you have this guy, you know, be tutored by Rodgers. You know, this is a different deal than when they drafted Jordan Love.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different situation for Rodgers.
Aaron's not winning MVP.
And you would think he would understand it. You know, and 41 years old with the team probably coming off a bad year and having a high pick, where he'd say, you know what, guys, this time I get it.
Right.
Yeah. And you'd get a different attitude from him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think his attitude is good. The only thing, I didn't hear what he said after the game. I wanted to. I was getting tired. I couldn't hang
in. He was good. Like, he criticized himself for the way he played in the first half. Like, he holds himself accountable, which I do appreciate. Because don't insult our intelligence. He was terrible in the first half.
Yeah.
And
terrible.
I think him admitting that is important. What
by the way, what is this, Teak, using his stuff, cayenne pepper or something?
I have never heard of that.
Right? And what is it? Does he drink this? What does he put it in water? What does he do to this guy?
It's probably a blood pressure thing. That's what would be my guess.
Maybe I should use this for my golf game.
Like, it just helps you. It helps you open up your capillaries. And what I have no idea what the scientific reason is, but whatever works, it works.
Hey.
Whatever gets it done.
Yep. Joe, I ask you this because I think this is now a fair time to have this discussion. November 1st, the Yankees are done.
Yep.
The Mets are done. Do you think Juan Soto is going to be a Met or Yankee next year?
I think he'll be one of them. I think he'll be playing in New York one way or the other. I still think I still think he's probably going to stay with the Yankees. But look, I mean, you heard what he said after the series was over. I mean, he's open to every team. I mean, he said that. So, you know, and I'm sure Boros is teaching him that way too. But right. If I'm Soto, I'm open to anybody. And the one thing that we got to see, Uncle Stevie, okay, cannot be outbid for him. That's how I look at it. You got to give me the biggest bid for Soto. And we'll see what happens.
I completely agree. And for the Yankee fans, I think they feel the same way about Hal as they right. should. They should not be outbid. But as a Met fan, this is why Steve Cohen is here.
That's right.
To get the generational baseball player who's 25 years old in the prime of his career. And it doesn't matter that he's a Yankee. He could have been a Dodger. He could have still been a National. This is the guy you open up the checkbook for. And I admit, I'd be very disappointed if the Mets are not the highest bidder.
And Joe, it feels like there's a lot more billionaires as owners right now, and the money seems different than it has in a really long time. And I wonder how long this takes, right? There has been some seasons over the last few years where it's just like nobody's signing free agents.
Right. You're into spring training already, and these guys aren't signing.
Right. I mean, one of those years they had, maybe that was the COVID year where they had like their own training, like the spring training for the unsigned guys. Remember that crazy?
That was the lockout year a couple years ago.
That was the lockout year, it was.
Yeah.
How quickly do you think this gets done? With Juan Soto.
It's going to be a while. Hmm. I mean, the only way it gets done fast is if the Yankees sign him. And I don't know what that number would be. I mean, but, you know, and because what's the period now, Ev? So can't you sign your own player for a period of time?
You can sign your own guys right now.
Yep.
Teams can start offering money in 4 days. It's 5 days after the World Series. Obviously, we passed the day. So the free agency is going to begin in 5 days. But I'll tell you this, and I hope I'm right. I think he's signing by early December because I don't think he needs to wait. He's the king of free agency.
Mm. He is.
He just sits there and says, all right, let's hear your best offers. And then he makes a decision and that's it.
Is there any way that we sign Soto and keep Pete? Do you think that's possible at all?
I think it's possible, but I got to tell you, and I love Pete. I really do. Yep. I hope he's back.
Of course.
If they sign Juan Soto, I will understand and be okay with Pete not being here.
Yes. You would have to. I mean, I love Pete too, but he's a homegrown Met. You will never forget the home run in Milwaukee.
No doubt.
It's one of the great moments we've had as Met fans, certainly in the last, number of years. If you're going to sign Soto, you can't cry if Pete leaves.
Totally get it. Indeed. Joe, have a great weekend, man. Good talking to you, pal.
All right, guys. All the love.
Be good, man.
Be well. See you.
Great Joe Beningo. Finally off a Jet victory. Mm. I mentioned this to you earlier. Garrett Wilson made two incredible catches yesterday. The first one's not going to get as much attention, but you even pointed it out.
Right.
Maybe it was more impressive. The one-handed catch on the first touchdown in which the corner was in his way, barely didn't see the football, kind of grabs it, and then runs the remainder into the end zone for a touchdown. The second one is the one that's on every highlight video. And while I've become a little bit more immune to the great catch, because we've seen it very often, I did go back, like a lot of us did, and I compared it to the Odell catch. And I have to tell you that I would actually rank the Garrett Wilson catch over the Odell Beckham catch. And I have a reason that I don't even think you guys could argue.
Because it's backhanded?
Nope.
No. Nope. Evan's reason is going to be mine, so I'll let him go.
Evan's reason's going to be yours. Evan's reason is very consistent with a lot of things I've said over the years. Great moments are awesome. But if you don't win,
that's right.
What do they really mean?
That's a great point.
Odell Beckham's catch on November 23rd, 2014. So and we're almost coming up to the 10-year anniversary.
That was a decade ago?
A decade ago!
How the hell was that 10 years ago?
Amazing, right? The Giants lost at home to the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
I'm not blaming Odell Beckham Jr. And that touchdown, actually, they were ahead when he scored that touchdown. But nevertheless, they lost! The Jets last night won in great part to the catch Garrett made. So we can go through each decibel and we can compare the difficulties of it. And that's fine. I understand that being a perspective on this. And I would say they're almost a wash. They're both incredible catches that I could never fantasize making.
But one
came in a win and one came in a loss. Checkmate.
I would nitpick a little bit.
Oh.
I would almost say that Odell's was easier.
Ooh.
Because of how when he jumped back to grab it, the ball, his hand stops, naturally stops the ball, right? Because it's like catching a baseball. The ball just goes right into the glove and it sticks.
Right.
And all the momentum takes you there. Garrett Wilson's, he had to backhand that. So it's like catching a ball, a baseball, if you're running and it's getting ready to get to the warning track and you turn and just stick your hand up to grab it.
Right.
It's a much more difficult, like, execution because you're not creating a natural pocket. Like, your hand is, you're turning your hand around to make that kind of catch. Whereas Odell's, it was kind of in the belly of it.
He also had more room towards the sideline to where Garrett Wilson had to contort his body in a way that I still don't even think like actually happened.
Right.
For him to stay in.
But Odell's was first.
Well, I don't want to do this, but I have to do
this.
Go ahead. Now.
Let's break it down, man.
All right.
Let's hear it.
I agree with Evan, and my take all night was the Jets won the game.
Thank you. So that's a big factor.
And so when I close my eyes at night and I think about great giant catches, Odell doesn't even register like top three for me because they didn't win the game.
Right.
However.
What's number one, by the way?
What?
Plexico?
Well, first is Tyree.
Tyree. Yeah. Tyree's got to be number one.
Is Mario Manningham.
Yeah. Mm. Look, those are Super Bowls, yeah, but they Plexico's also won the game.
Plexico's was the touchdown, though.
I was, but it just I'm talking about crazy catches. Third is actually Victor Cruz, New Year's Day 2011.
What about how dare you?
What about Shockey over...
Over Brian Dawkins. It's up there, too. Great catches. Here's
that's
the
like
thing.
Five. You can't have six top three.
But this is why I don't care about it, but Evan's doing something he's making me care about.
Go ahead.
If you really want to go into the art of the amazing catch, Garrett Wilson, breathtaking. Odell Beckham, breathtaking. Did you forget something that happened on Odell Beckham's catch?
There was a penalty.
Mugged.
He got mugged. Yeah. It was a
he fought off being mugged. There's a flag on the play because he's being interfered with.
Yeah.
And we didn't have to go to replay for a shin, and he manages to control his body back, get a hand, 2 feet, and an ass.
No, because he had more room. Like, look.
It was a better throw by Eli Manning.
Well, that, you know, better quarterback.
I knew that was going to come up. Look, I think that there are a lot of small.
He's got two Super Bowls to one.
If that's how you want to measure it, fine. And look, Aaron Rodgers done nothing for me, so I ain't going to defend him. All right? Honestly, my days of defending Aaron Rodgers are over until he does something more for my team.
All right.
But there are a lot of factors when you combine these catches, one of which is keeping yourself in bounds. It was more difficult for Garrett Wilson to do that in the back of the end zone versus Odell Beckham Jr.
But I wonder if he was aware that he was keeping himself in bounds. Because to me, it became the two-hop thing again. Remember last week where, who was it?
Pickens
got pushed out of bounds.
Yeah.
Because he hopped on one foot twice, yes. But he didn't get the second foot down.
Yes.
He needed a bigger body part. In this case, your shin. I don't know if Garrett Wilson was like consciously saying, I got to get my shin down.
Well,
I think it just went down.
I think it went down too, but that doesn't even matter. Like, it doesn't matter if you knew or not.
If you're not aware, like Malik Nabers had a throw from Daniel Jones last week. Remember, it was in the front left corner of the end zone. And it was great throw, high, only Malik could get it. He goes up and gets it, and he's just not aware enough to like, consciously stick both feet down.
Right.
So it's an incomplete pass, right? To do that is as much a part of completing a catch as catching the football.
I agree, but if he knew it or didn't know it, as long as he did it, isn't that all that matters?
Yeah, but he did it by on accident.
Who cares?
Yeah, Odell was conscious.
He was conscious.
Yeah, but come on, now you're just looking for reasons
to put
Odell up.
No, I'm not.
Both guys got in. Now, I'll tell you this.
I already gave Garrett the level of difficulty. I gave him that advantage.
But him knowing what he was doing with his own body doesn't matter as long as he did it with his own body. And I'll raise my hand on this. I admit this. I still don't understand how that was overturned. I'll be the first to tell you.
Because his shin touched down.
And how is George Pickens a week earlier not a catch?
Because it's nothing hit but his foot.
But use logic. I get what you're saying with the shin and the hopping. Just watch each catch and really, with your brain, tell me how that's not a catch and that is a catch.
It
actually doesn't
rules.
Compute.
Because it's the rule.
And the rules don't
like
make sense.
It's just like if your elbow went down, if your knee went down, if your butt went down, like any of those things went to the ground.
Yeah.
Even if you just had one foot, it's a catch.
But the logic of it doesn't fit.
Okay, that's an NFL problem.
I understand that. That's my point. The logic of it doesn't fit with what we saw. Like, I get the shin rule. I'm just telling you, if you watch the Pickens play and you watch the Wilson play.
Yeah, it doesn't look anything like a catch.
One looks like it's a catch,
right.
George Pickens.
Except for he doesn't get his second foot down. And it's not multiple one foot.
Wilson didn't get his second foot down. He got his shin down. From the same foot that dragged.
A foot and a shin is like 2 feet.
Yeah, and I think we're officially calling this catch the shin dig.
Very nice.
Can
Can I ask Evan and Sean something more, nice. Evan than Sean, because you both brought this up about the win loss. It happened in a win. It happened in a loss.
Yes, that's a big factor to me, bro.
You and I both share a brain on this one, but yes. I think you're suffering from Andy Chavisitis. Now that's a. We both agree that it was an amazing catch. They celebrated. It should not be celebrated, but it was a great catch. I don't think a win or loss in a regular season game should dictate degree of difficulty. If you want to say what was the more important catch, more impactful catch, more legendary catch, but if you're saying like what was the better degree of difficulty, that's all it should really be. Because it was a regular season game for both teams.
Look, yeah. I'm going to declare this as the Giant, the true diehard Giant fan here, because I mean, he's being all positive about the Jets. Look. Evan, you as Jet fans, you've been through a lot, right? The longest drought in North American sports.
You're just going to give it to me now. Right?
No.
You're going to be a condescending and say, you know what? Take this. I'll wash my Super Bowl rings
This is
tonight.
About you, and this is about Jet fans.
What?
Longest drought in professional sports. You thought bringing Aaron Rodgers here was going to change, and then we tried to tell you it wouldn't. Brett Favre, that whole thing crashed out. You have Woody Johnson. You have been through it all. Make you better, sleep better at night. Guess what? Garrett Wilson, better catch than Odell Beckham.
But Sean,
you guys had that one, Jet fans. Enjoy it. You'll celebrate it forever.
Sean, I'm not celebrating it. I'm not putting it on a T-shirt.
Yeah. Hang a banner, as a matter of fact.
I'm not putting it on a poster. I'm merely giving you an opinion that I've been very consistent about.
How many times will we see it on Jet social media next month?
You know what? There's space right there with the ring, Evan. There's Super Bowl III champions.
Hold on.
And then you do, Garrett Wilson made a catch on a game Al Michaels didn't care about. I think that's the banner to hang.
But Sean, you're taking your, I was going to use a word, but it's not appropriate. You're being a Richard right now, okay?
Okay.
I'm not telling you this is an all-time great Jet moment. I'm not going to celebrate it. I'm not going to put it on a banner. I'm not going to put it on a T-shirt. I'm merely saying that wins and losses matter to me. And when I've busted Nick fans' balls, you at least have to respect this about the John Starks dunk. I don't do it to be a jerk. I say, you lost the series. I can't celebrate.
Yeah, but it's about who he dunked over. That's why it's
iconic. You lost the series.
I understand that, but it's who's in the image.
Okay, that's fine. You can continue to have that. I'm giving you my consistent view that winning matters. That's all I'm saying. Andy Chavez against the winning matters,
bro. Yeah,
if
they won the World Series, obviously there's a statue. I'm not even joking of Andy Chavez outside Citi Field. Okay, so let's not even say if. When the Jets break this curse and they get in the playoffs, they will look back at this play and there'll be a statue of Garrett Wilson outside of MetLife.
Loogie, by the way, fine, I agree with that.
So the story hasn't been finished yet on what this play will mean.
No. If the season goes to some amazing place, I completely agree with you on that. I'm just talking about in the moment when it's being compared naturally to the Odell Beckham Jr. play. Everyone had that reaction. Al Michaels had the reaction. Kirk Herbstreit had the reaction. Everybody at home reacted in comparing it to the Odell play. I'm merely telling you that winning matters. That's all I'm saying. That happened in a loss.
Right. I agree with you.
Not Beckham's fault. They put him up 21-7 when he scored that touchdown. I'm not blaming Odell Beckham Jr. Wins and losses matter. So continue to be a Richard.
I'm not being a
Richard. And say, I got to put a banner
up. I'm finally giving you something.
You don't have to give it to me.
I'm giving it to you.
I'm not asking you to give it to me.
I'm giving it to you. I'm not going to argue. That's it. Accept it. Odell versus Garrett. You win it. You get the banner forever. For the rest of your life, you could talk about Thursday Night Football, Halloween. Remember that catch Garrett Wilson made.
Now I'm going to talk to Tiki.
Yes.
Right. You see what he's doing, right?
Yes. He's just trying to give you a gift.
No, I don't want a gift.
Why not?
I'm not asking for a gift.
I'm actually not arguing with you for once. I'm giving the Jets something they can have over the Giants forever.
If you wanted to just say you're right, just say, you know what, Ev? You're right. You don't have to throw in the other stuff like the Super Bowl. Go watch it like porn tonight.
I've seen all that. I don't need everything in life. So I'm giving you something as a Jet fan. You could have it. Best one-handed catch in MetLife Stadium history. You want that as the banner? Fine, take it, pal.
Can you ever lose an argument without being a Richard?
No. I can't. So think of that if our contracts get real, pal.
I appreciate your honesty, at least. Let's go to Josh in Smithtown. How are you, Josh?
Hey, guys. First of all, Evan, I got to disagree with you a little bit about what you're just saying, because if Tyreek Hill took a snap for under center as quarterback and threw himself a pass, which he ran 70 yards for a touchdown, but then Tim Boyle was his quarterback and they didn't win that game, it doesn't minimize the greatness of the play that happened just because they didn't, you know, there's other aspects. So much goes into winning a game that I don't think that that's really fair.
It's not fair to the individualness of the catch. Like, you're right. If you're just going squarely on that, I'm admitting, though, that my emotions on a play are impacted by the result of the game. And so you're not wrong with what you're saying. Like, it's not Beckham's fault they lost to the Cowboys, and it's not necessarily all on Garrett Wilson that they won, but it affects how I view a play when you lost the game or you won the game. It's just the way I always feel about it.
What if you were 6-3 and lost the game? What if your record was reversed? Would you still accept that as a great catch? Oh, look how great we are now.
I'm not accepting it as a great catch. I'm saying I put one thing over the other because it occurred in a victory. Like, John Starks' dunk, and I know that hits a lot of emotions for some of our older Knick fans. What I can't get over is that you lost the series. So I have a tough time celebrating something. Look, I battle with this with the Robin Ventura Grand Slam single. It's one of the great moments as a Met fan, but I can't get past that 2 days later they lost Game 6 in Atlanta.
Right.
Like, they lost the series. What do Yankee fans, all right? Yankee fans, remember those home runs you hit in 2001 against Arizona?
Yeah.
Scott Brosius. Isn't it tough? Or Aaron Boone probably is the better example, because I think 9/11 brings an emotion into this that's very different. So I want to take that from the record, because I do think it's different. Aaron Boone's home run against the Red Sox.
Hmm.
You lost the next series.
Actually, losing in 04 makes it worse than losing the next series.
Fair enough. But my point is, winning and losing matters. It just matters. So to me, when I think back to the Odell play, and I remember talking about it the next day, how brilliant it was, I couldn't get past they lost the game. Like, really? We're going to celebrate this? You lost the game.
I agree. I don't celebrate stuff in losses. That's why you guys finally won something. You should take it.
See, you didn't need that last sentence.
I'm giving it to you. Yeah, my God. I bashed the Jets nonstop, Tiki. I finally give him something. I go, you can have this.
I don't understand how this is troubling you so much.
I know, because he doesn't, can never have enough.
Because you don't have to give it to me. Just say you're right, winning matters, and then shut your mic off.
Would you rather me argue and say, no, Odell's was better because you did this. Who cares if it's lost?
No.
I'm telling you, it's a better moment for the Jets, Sean, and they should have that moment.
Sean, what I'm merely saying is I appreciate that you're agreeing with me, but you can stop short with the douchiness.
But you're kind of being a douchiness too here.
What have I done?
Because you're about to make me do something that I don't want to do, but I got to do it.
What?
The John Starks dunk, because I even said it. No. Everyone thinks it's iconic because he dunked over Jordan. He didn't, though. He dunked over Horace Grant.
Right.
Jordan got in at the last second. But you're making me do this, and I don't want to do this, because it is a great moment, but he dunked it over Horace Grant, guys. It wasn't Jordan. Jordan
so
came in at the last second.
Right.
Because we think it was over Jordan. Why are you doing this?
Everybody thinks it's over Jordan.
It's
the only
not.
One that ever punked Jordan was AI.
Right.
The only one ever.
Right.
Ever. That I can remember.
I just can't get over things that are celebrated in losses. And I say this as a loser. Like, I'm the king loser. All I do is see my team lose. You would think I would celebrate things in losses because all I do is lose. But I have a tough time doing that. It doesn't take anything away from Odell's catch. It was a great catch. They lost the game, though.
Yeah.
To the Cowboys.
Garrett's was better.
Thank you, Tiki. See, did you see what he just did?
Because you won.
Thank you. Tiki just made a sentence. He agreed with me, and he left it at that. Now, Tiki did not add on, and you're a loser Jet fan, so let me just give you a victory.
That's not what I said.
And trust me, deep down, Tiki does want to say that.
No, I love Nate Hackett.
I couldn't take it. It was so bad last night, early on in that game, BT. And then the first half overall, just disgusting. But in the end, the Jets were able to get a rare victory. Can their season now be saved?
This is the day. I'm going to lean into it. My answer is yes. Their answer could be saved. And I'm going to push it a little step further, and I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to jump into a few things here. And I want this question to marinate. Let it just linger for a sec. Why can't the 2024 Jets be the 2024 Mets? Like, why not? I know that the difference coming in is that nobody thought the Mets would do much because they didn't have a great roster on paper, and really the opposite for the Jets' perspective, a loaded roster, in quotes, and, you know, Super Bowl hype around them. Listen, the Jets last night, and I'm watching the game, and you text me, and you're like, dude, I can't do it anymore.
I was legit, like, I can't watch this.
I said, enjoy the Penguin.
Yeah. That's
I said, I wish I could join you, because I got to do the pod tonight. Yeah. I can't. I'm sitting here with my... I almost fell asleep in the first half. No points in the first half, and just a litany of mistakes, and, you know, Rodgers with no chemistry, just a Jets performance.
Drop
right?
balls, Rodgers missing throws.
Oh, dude.
I did.
Corleys for the touchdown, dropping the ball.
I know we'll
ball.
Get to that later, but that is just
atrocious. Yeah. You have Morstead pins them down at the two. They give up a 98-yard drive, so you get the whole Jet experience. And then, of course, the rest of the Jet experience is we're going to suck you in. And I am a little sucked in. I'm not going to lie to you. Aaron Rodgers threw three touchdowns. Wilson had the sickest catch I've ever seen, two touchdowns. And we'll get to the comparison with Odell in a bit. They had eight sacks. And I went to the standings right when the Jets took the lead for the first time. And I'm like, all right, if they win this game, Where are the Jets going to be? And at that point, looking at 2-6, they were 15th, only ahead of the Tennessee Titans, who they beat, you know, in week two. With the win, they jumped up to 10. Now, it's a very muddled AFC. Who the hell knows what happens? But if the Jets go 8-0, which they won't, please, they won't. But if they did, they're 11-6. If they go 7-1 the rest of the way, they're 10-7.
Right.
I'm not really banking on that. If they go 6-2, and this is where they got a shot, I'm going to latch on to this, and I'm going to lean into this. If they go 6-2, they're 9-8. They're at Arizona, then they host the Colts, then they got a bye, then they got Seattle at home. Are you telling me, I'd say I'd bet a ton of money on this, I think all of those games, they will be favored. Maybe a minus one out in Arizona, but the Cardinals, the Colts, the bye, Seattle. You can't win three games there?
Well, remember, you and I did this a week ago, after the Patriot game, but before this game on Thursday. We might have done it earlier in the week. If not, yeah, I guess we did do it earlier in the week.
We did it a few times with this team.
We've done it a few times. But before, to me, was after the Patriots loss, because that's when everybody thought that they were done.
Yep.
Before this game on Thursday night, we were looking at it, and I'm saying, all right, well, you can make a case that they could go 7-2. So then the question becomes, would 9 be enough to get in? And now you're basically saying the same thing. Like, all right, they got the Texans win, which they had to get. But look at the rest of their schedule. Here's why I'm not going to get sucked in. While I don't think it's a ridiculous thought.
Yep.
And while I think that they actually would have an advantage over the Mets because the Jets were built to be good. The Mets were not built to be a great team, and they went 11 games under, it's, you know, mid-May, whatever it may be, they go and become the best team in baseball. They weren't supposed to be that. The Jets were supposed to be one of the best teams in football on paper going in, so there's legit belief in that. The quarterback, obviously, belief in that. The emergence now with Garrett Wilson. Devontae Adams here. The defense played better last night. Yeah, I mean, Sauce still sucks.
Sauce had a rough night again. Anyway, but anyway, go ahead.
His pieces are there.
Yep.
And more than that, the schedule is favorable. But I can't get sucked in because I can't ignore all the bad. I don't believe in the head coach. I refuse to even call him a head coach. like all due respect to Ulbrich, like he's a coordinator that's trying to coach this team. They're a sloppy freaking mess, and it's one thing after another. I hope that they get it turned around. I think it'd be great for you. It'd be good for us.
It'd be good for the show, sure.
Yeah, okay. So I hope that that's the case.
Yeah.
I want to actually have – the main thing I text you is brutal to watch football games that don't matter. Not only does the quality of play suck, the game doesn't matter necessarily.
Yep.
But now maybe they start to matter a little bit. At 3-6, you have hope. They can beat Arizona. They can beat the Colts. They can beat the Seahawks. They can beat Miami twice with the way that they go. There is a path. I just don't believe in BT because I've seen too much bad from this team. Drops, the penalties, the defense in a big spot. I just can't go there.
The kicking, and thankfully Zerline is gone. You know, listen, I understand that you look at this Texans team and the record is really good before last night. They're 6-2, and the spread was that for a reason. They're trying to suck you in. That was really the thought. But you really did look at the I looked at the Texans. I'm like, all right, you know, their top two wide receivers are out. You look at some of you do a little bit of a dive in terms of stats. The Texans have, going into last night, and then obviously only compounded, gave up the most sacks in the NFL through 8 weeks. They were tied for first in most pressures. Like, I'm not sitting here saying that they just beat, you know, the Chiefs or, you know, a top team or even the Buffalo Bills up in Buffalo, but the numbers are the numbers, and paths are unconventional, and it's not always linear, and I'm going to lean into it. And you know what? I get it. At the end of the day, I'll probably be burned, but I said last night doing the podcast, if you can't enjoy a win, like honestly, if you can't enjoy a win, and I don't mean the kind of win where like last year, the Patriots game, I didn't want to win that game. I told you that.
Yes.
And they did. And it affected draft status. Oh, yay. The Jets, they ended the losing streak against the Pats. I feel so amazing. Yay. Well, it impacted who they drafted and what they could do at that point. And I thought it was bigger picture, better for the Jets to lose. I don't mean at the end of December. I'm talking about, unless yesterday was still October, when you have a chance to bag a win and you have enough talent at least to conjure up an ounce of hope that this thing could turn around, I'm going to do it. And I did it last night, not in the first half. But as the game progressed and I saw Adams and Rodgers, that synergy started to click a little bit. I saw Garrett Wilson. There were points last night. Garrett Wilson, I know he's not, but he looked like the best receiver in football. 2 one-handed touchdown receptions, and then you see the defense flying around. Mm-hmm. I get it. Sauce got knocked over. Sauce has problems here. He's not played well. But excuse me. But the pass rush was there, and then you look at the schedule and the circumstances. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons, whether it's the coach, the hole they dug for themselves, Rodgers' age, the O-line, can't stop the run. I get it. I understand who they're not. But they're not dead. I also understand that. And they got a fighting chance, and I'm here for it. Let's go.
And now I'm going to feed you a little bit more here.
All right, let's go.
Not only are they not dead, you mentioned it when you say you look at the standings and
perhaps,
you look around the
shall
team.
Shall we say unkillable?
Oh, wow. Yeah, right. Maybe unkillable. But you mentioned it, and you're like, oh, the Texans, you know, whatever, and they can be banged up. Yeah, but the Texans were supposed to be and are, by record, one of the better teams in the AFC. Like, if I'm looking around at this, obviously the Chiefs are on another level than anybody else. But that's just one team. And in one game in the postseason, anything could happen. Not likely, of course, but anything could happen. So anybody beyond that, like the Broncos, Chargers, and I still believe those teams are better coached and more fundamentally sound, but the Jets are more talented than both those teams. And with Aaron Rodgers and the weapons now that he has, if they can start to click, which is possible, mm-hmm. with their defense, I would say that they'd be favored over anybody in the West outside of Kansas City. You look at the South, they just took care of the best team that the South has to offer in the Texans. And even if they get a little bit better, they're still not, it's not like if I'm the Jets right now, I wouldn't fear them, let alone the Jets starting to steamroll here a little bit over the next few weeks. Look at the North. Okay, I'm going to say Baltimore. Definitively, I would say Baltimore.
The Ravens are just absolutely better.
Definitively,
the way they run the ball, they run it down the Jets' throat.
Definitively better than the Jets. Yep. But now we've gotten two teams, Chiefs, Ravens, Steelers. All right, they're better because they're better coached, but I don't know if I'm going to say definitively better than, like, let's say down the road they met in the postseason. What, you're telling me the Jets?
They could beat them.
Okay, and then in the East, you got one team. It's the Bills. So really, overall, now, again, I'm not saying the Jets are the fourth best team in the AFC. Please don't get me wrong. What I'm saying
But they were supposed to be in that neighborhood.
And what I'm saying is I think you can make a legitimate argument that if they do get better slowly here and start to go in the right direction, go downhill a little bit, and start to become the team that we thought they could be, even if they get in with 9 wins, I think they could be dangerous in the AFC postseason.
I do, too. Now, listen, they wouldn't be favored up in Buffalo. They wouldn't be favored against Kansas City. And this is even putting it almost too far down the road. But it's not a bad thought to complement at least what I'm thinking here. See, the difference, too, when you look at, take the Giants from 2022. Like, the way their season ended, as great as the Minnesota game was, the way it ended against Philly, the disparity in talent, I don't even know what the spread was. I know it was high.
Right.
I mean, it was varsity versus JV.
Right.
And they had no shot to win that game, and they got pretty much eviscerated. To your point, if a lot of things happen, and now that the Jets look better, that's the first thing that had to happen even tap into any other thing potentially happening, right? And whether, teams, the Chargers start losing or there's injuries or whatever it might be. I think it's unrealistic or just unfair, incorrect to say that if the Jets were to get in, that the disparity, even against Kansas City in Arrowhead, I would give them a much better, and it's not a Jet-Giant thing, but a much better chance against them than I gave the Giants against Philly. The disparity's not nearly that wide.
Correct, and I'll give you a good example. I like that you just said that. Let's look at the Chargers. And now I love the Chargers because of Harbaugh, okay? And the Chargers do things fundamentally well, and they're learning whatever. Run the football. Herbert started to throw it a little bit last week. But I feel, or the Broncos, you want to throw them. It's not just specific to one of those teams. But those teams that are playing well because they do the things that the Jets haven't done well this year but don't have the talent that the Jets do to get them over the top or close that gap. So the Jets are the Steelers, another example. Steelers are very good, obviously defensively too, but there's an issue with the Steelers. There's a reason why people are like, I'm not so sure. They're very well coached. They do things the right way. They've built that foundation. But if the Steelers match up with the Chiefs or the Ravens, maybe divisional, different thing, you're going to feel the disparity between the two teams. Like, you feel like they can only get that far. And I'm not trying to say that those teams are what the Giants were. I think those teams are better than what the Giants were. But point is, the Jets, if they can turn around and clean up some of those things, and that's where I think that they lack. Like, I do believe coaching and fundies and all that stuff has a big impact on this. But yeah, you're right. The talent disparity with Rodgers at quarterback, with the defense and the potential that they have, they can be closer than some of those other teams that are playing better as a team. but realistically don't have a chance to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't make this up. Now, some of us maybe got a little more excited than others, but we didn't make it up and, you know, give the Jets this roster that was, oh, man, geez. I mean, Vegas was in on it. A lot of people who cover the game for a living without, you know, a proclivity to root for a certain team. Like, they're like, hey, Jets are good. Jets are supposed to be good. And we felt it, and we certainly hoped it. Now, there was always that fear, because it's the Jets, that something could go wrong and sabotage everything. And it did, because they lost to teams they should have lost to, and really they lost because their kicker couldn't kick the freaking ball straight.
Yeah.
And yeah, you got to move past that. Yeah, they should have beat Denver. Yeah, they should have beat the Vikings. Yeah, they could have beat the Bills. It's over. Now, if we're sitting here today and we're saying that the Jets have to go 8-0 to get to 9 wins, which might get you in.
That's absurd.
We're not leading the show with this.
That's absurd.
It's absurd. If we're sitting here saying, hey, the Jets have to go 7-1 and they got a puncher's chance. No, we're not saying that. We're saying if the Jets go 6-2.
Which should be realistic.
Yes, if they can do that with a lot of winnable games. I'm looking at them, at the Cardinals, home to the Colts, well, got a bye week, Seattle at home.
You want to do it?
Let's go.
Arizona.
They're going to win this game.
Colts.
They're going to definitely win that game.
Seahawks at home.
They're going to win that game.
At Miami.
See, this is now I got to inject a little reality into this.
They split with Miami?
Here's the thing, Sal. You know, just on a human level, I'm happy the Tua is coming back and he's okay. From my football team's perspective, I kind of liked it when he wasn't playing.
Understood. Yeah, but they're still different.
I know. But they're at least, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The Dolphins with Tua are
at least a threat.
I think they're going to lose that game.
Okay.
I got to be somewhat realistic.
At Jacksonville.
Win.
You have to. Home against the Rams.
Now, I'm going to say win, but I also thought a week or two ago there was a chance that they would start selling off pieces. You know, you heard maybe they're going to trade Stafford. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be as easy as I thought, but I'm going to say win.
At Buffalo.
Loss.
Versus Miami.
Win, 6-2.
There you go.
I've already done the math, dude. I looked at this all night.
Right, and by the way, when we do this game, normally I'm sitting here saying, yeah, okay. You're 12-4, whatever.
Like everybody else in the world.
But this time,
yeah.
I don't think it's
that. Go on, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, I felt that last night. Like, I'm not shocked that they won last night. The line was telling you, as you said before, it was a sucker's bet. Like, how could you not take the Texans? It was telling you the Jets would win that game. And it's also typical, just when everybody thinks they're finally finished losing to the Patriots,
yeah,
that's when they come back and get a win. I don't think it's unrealistic to go 6-2.
All right, we're going to get these calls. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Yeah, it's not unrealistic. And I do think that, again, the optics and just the way it felt second half, not first half, second half, if the Jets would have won last night 7-3,
I'm not
so sure. Yeah, I mean, literally, it's the same path based on the record. But the fact that Rodgers even scratched, I know it got pulled back on that run, Rodgers looked flat out nimble at one point. Remember when he tucked it and ran up the middle and he gained a bunch of yards, got the first down? Like, I saw him put a little, like, he actually put his foot in the ground. I mean, not like a running back, but he did something I haven't seen him do as a Jet. So there are, like, they looked a little dangerous. And the talent finally rose to the surface, which gives me hope.
Here's the biggest difference. If this were a team with Zach Wilson being the quarterback, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Because, like, we always say, well, how have they gotten worse with Rodgers this year versus Zach?
Yeah.
This is the difference. Even though the record may not be as good, because of Rodgers, it gives us reason to believe that they actually can go 6-2 down the street.
Three touchdown passes.
He looked good.
Yep.
After the first half.
At MetLife Stadium, it started very ugly with the New York Jets being down 7-0 and basically getting 3-and-out the entire first half, and Malachi Corley dropping a football on an easy touchdown right before he got in the end zone, and it was all bad. But obviously things turned around. Garrett Wilson touchdown to start the second half, the Garrett Wilson incredible catch and a couple of conversions on fourth down, a Davante Adams touchdown, and before you know it, it's 21-10, and they hold on and win 21-13, and the Jets win for the first time since late September. Positive Tommy is a guy that I've enlisted to help the New York Jets. His positivity certainly contributed to the New York Mets' success, so desperate times call for desperate measures. But he has his first victory, so ladies and gentlemen, let us all pray at the altar of Positive Tommy.
So, Evan, after the win last night, after I bragged about it a little bit, the positive Tommy Jets are 1-0, I got back in my positivity lab, and I looked at my posimeter, and I realized it was a little low. There's just not enough Christmas spirit, Tiki. So, I didn't feel like the Jet fans really believe yet. Yeah, they love the win. Yeah, they love the Garrett Wilson catch. But I don't think they're buying in, much like when positive Tommy was born with the Mets. So, I thought, you know what? Maybe there's a little bit of a parallel between the Mets and Jets, different sports. But then it hit me, and it was right in front of us the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
When the Mets got off to a bad start, if you had to say one reason why they got off to that bad start, what would it be?
I mean, there are a few reasons, but Francisco Alvarez being out certainly didn't help. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're looking for?
No, Lindor was bad.
The bullpen was historically awful.
Oh, the bullpen was terrible.
That too.
Yeah.
Had it not been,
and we said this forever, the Mets would have been in a different position.
Yeah.
Had the Jets had a good kicker, where would their record be?
Their record would be better.
Okay.
Are we convinced that Riley Patterson's a good kicker, by the way?
Not yet.
His first extra point banged off the post.
You got rid of a negative, so this guy, Patterson, is a positive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Technically, Zuerlein's still there. He's just on IR.
He won't see the field ever again. So, the Mets were able to figure out their bullpen situation. They went on a run. The Jets are working on their kicker situation. They could go on a run. They have the roster. They have the team that was projected to win 10 games. Now that they figured out their biggest weakness and a reason they lost, let's say, 2 games, is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
They would have been 2 more wins had they had a decent kicker. Anybody but the Zuerlein. Now they got rid of that. Now, I'm not going to do a Mike and the Mad Dog win-loss. I'm not doing that. But these are the quarterbacks that you're going to be facing. Kyler Murray, Joe Flacco, Geno Smith, Tua, Trevor Lawrence. I have no idea what's going on with the Rams. They could trade everybody. Josh Allen, who knows if he's playing late in the year because they'll have everything wrapped up. And I already told you this. Tua's not starting the last week of the year. The Dolphins are done, and they're not playing this guy at the end of the year with all the concussions he's had.
Why are you hacking Tua like that?
Because I don't think they're going to put... Hey, a hot Tua? Yeah. I don't think he's going to play that week because I don't think they're going to put him out there to get another concussion.
If they're out of it.
Which I think they are. Their defense sucks. They're a mess. But their coach dresses nice, like he's selling basically marijuana in Washington Heights Park. So that's the path. The path is there, guys. The talent is there. Another thing, Rodgers, the week that he and Evan, I expect you to take one for the team here next week.
Go ahead.
Little cayenne pepper in the water.
I'll eat cayenne pepper.
You and I, positive Tommy, I don't know if we have to clear it with the lawyers or upper management, but you and I are going to drink some cayenne pepper and water next week.
Done.
Aaron Rodgers threw 3 touchdown passes after finding the Fountain of Youth. Other things, too, where the power of positivity, I think, was at work last night. Evan, you know this from watching Jet football your entire life. After that play happened where, what's this, Corley fumbled the ball?
Yeah.
Jets lose that game 99 times.
I think we all thought they were after a play like that.
Here's another one.
Especially with 2 drives later, Joe Mixon's Jim Brown.
Right. Let's find a way to lose. That was the classic, we just found another way to lose.
Yeah. And that kid would have been a martyr, and Jet fans would have just thrown all their negativity.
Tommy,
one more. Devontae Adams had the game-clinching touchdown.
Yeah.
He was in concussion protocol, cleared the protocol, scored the touchdown. A lot of positivity in the air.
I buy a lot of your positivity, but I have been informed that some in the Jet community are not happy with positive Tommy.
Because he's fake?
No. Has nothing to do with that. Because we're okay with fakeness.
Because he's a Giants fan?
Has nothing to do with that. Mm. We're okay with fakeness and Giant fans as long as it leads to winning. There's a tweet in question.
Ooh.
Last night,
I'm glad you brought this up, Evan.
Let me explain it. No, don't jump on me.
I'm glad you're bringing this up because people question me, and I'm happy that you're giving me the platform to respond.
And before you respond, Tiki needs to comment on this because Tiki is not living on social media enough.
I am not.
So when Malachi Corley completed the boneheaded mistake, Tommy Lugauer went on social media.
Okay.
He put the video of the mistake out and tweets, and I quote, Aaron Judge dressed up like a Jet for Halloween. While many people take this as his continuing shots against the Yankees, totally fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's okay.
It's deserved.
It was also a shot at the Jets. That was not in the positive Tommy spirit, because no one recalls you saying anything like that about the Mets when they had any kind of bad loss or suffered any kind of defeat. And so forget the Yankee fan, because screw them, right? Doesn't matter. You don't like the Yankees. You own that. No one has a problem with that.
But
that Jet fans took that very personally.
Let me ask why you decided to, because it was a drop? Because he dropped the ball? Is that why?
Correct. And last night was Halloween. So go ahead, Tiki. So you were supposed to go first. And then I'll respond.
I was just wondering why you chose Aaron Judge
in that moment.
Oh, you know why.
To go after. And it must be just because he dropped the ball.
He dropped the ball in center field.
But he didn't drop a catch. He just fumbled the ball. So it's a little bit different. It's like a loose association.
It was a desperate attempt to take a shot at the Yankees.
Which I would love to do.
It feels a little desperate.
It was. But in the meantime, he took a shot at the team he's supposed to be giving positivity to.
No, I didn't take it that way.
You didn't?
No, I don't take it as a shot. I take it as a shot at Malachi Corley. For sure, but not at the Jets, per se.
I don't know, man.
Malachi Corley plays for the Jets.
It doesn't matter. He's a rookie. He doesn't count.
I got news for you. I don't care if that was a Jet, if that was a Cleveland Brown, if that was a New York freaking Giant. Mm-hmm. I saw an opportunity to dump on the Yankees and Aaron Judge, and I took it. It was Halloween night. It had nothing to do with the Jets.
If it had happened to Tank Dell, if Tank Dell had done the same thing, you would have had the same tweet. It would just change. Change the player and the team.
1,000%. Oh, no. That was a direct shot at the Yankees. It was a direct shot at Sean Marash.
I kind of accept his explanation. No.
But if you're going to be true positive, Tommy, along the way, the Mets had a lot of...
But he wasn't knocking the Jets.
Hold on. The Mets player, there have been individual players during the whole Met run, especially when they dipped 11 under, and there were certain moments. Alvarez, this, that, the other.
Sean's right.
Tommy at no point made a crack about the individual players despite being positive.
No, I mean, you're 1,000% right. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll give you an example.
It's not consistent.
Edwin Diaz points to the sky when he gives up a 500-foot grand slam. That's an easy joke to make. You didn't make it. Mm-hmm. So if you want to really be the positive Jet messiah that we need,
okay,
you got to embrace this fully and not take shots when everyone else takes their easy shots. It was easy and you joined in, and I need you to be better than that. Mm.
That's fine, and you could have that feeling on it. I took a shot at Aaron Judge. I took a shot at the Yankees. It had nothing to do with the Jets. It had to do with Halloween. That's all it had to do with.
You prioritize Yankee Elimination Day over.
He needed to make a cute Halloween.
Right. Also,
like post, and so he just said dressed up as a, you know, Aaron Judge.
Exactly. It had nothing to do with the Jets. It had more to do with the Yankees.
Can he get some leeway? This is his first real game as the positive Tommy for the Jets.
I'm giving him leeway.
He's still trying to get a little bit of the Giants fan.
But Tiki, I'm not
out of his system.
Never once during this discussion have I said get rid of positive Tommy. Mm. I want him off the Jet bandwagon. I'm giving him a friendly, hey, that wasn't kosher. Hey, that was not something you should be doing to the people that are looking up to you and praying at your altar to turn the season around. Don't take shots at us. Because at the end of the day, you are us.
I'll generalize a little bit. I know that there are at least some Jet Yankee fans.
I was wrong.
But for the most part, most Jet fans are Met fans. So when you have a moment like that as a Jet fan, what will cheer you up? I know. Let's take a shot at the Yankees. So Jet fans see that post. They laugh. They smile. That's funny. Ha ha! Aaron Judge could do it. And then they can move on instead of sulking in their negativity. It's a funny joke.
Remember, though, this joke comes 2.5 hours after something very important happened in Tommy's positive Tommy Jet moment.
What? Which was?
You said give him leeway. It's his first night. Well, positive Tommy had 2 free Jets tickets handed to him, positive in the stands, and then said no thanks after committing to going, and then took a shot at the Yankees after. That's 0-2 on being positive with the Jets.
By the way, I agree with you, but luckily, there are 3 strikes in sports. So Tommy's behind in the count 0-2 right now. What I would tell you is, be careful, sir. We want you on that wall. We need you on that wall, but be careful.
And you have me on that wall.
Just be careful.
We don't have to get into all the details, but I met a Jet fan at Penn Station because Jet fans already recognize me as the voice of Jet fans here on WFN. One would say positive Tommy and the positive Tommy Jets are, I don't know, unkillable perhaps? And we had a fun interaction. So Jet fans are already recognizing me as their savior. They are believing in the power of positivity, and the positive Tommy Jets are 1-0.
Listen, I still pray to your altar. I still believe in positive Tommy sending us to the promised land. Just be careful next time. All right? Take your Yankee shots and save it for another day.
You got it.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.